Amen. And then allows the Lord to talk back. And that's the key. Not so much of what we're saying to the Lord. He already knows our hearts. He can see our thoughts. He knows things before we say them. But what does God have to say to us? And if you open your ear, you'll find he always has something to say. It may be a word, but that one word just opens up for you a door that you could not open all by yourself. You tried and tried, but one word from the Lord. And what I like is it's a living word, that if you take that word, it will bring life into all that you do. All that you do, because you took the word of God and you recognize that if God said it, he will do it. If he declared it, he will bring it to pass. Amen. So we want to thank God today that we are going to be continually a people of prayer. Amen. And an hour is not much. Amen. It seems like a whole lot. But you'll find yourself getting to that hour and you won't even know when it came and gone. Amen. If you allow your prayers to just take over your heart and mind, and remember it, it's not about you. It's about who you're praying to. And I believe God has some wonderful things in store for us as we are faithful to that. And I stand here making that commitment, knowing the joy of the Lord in my spirit, that as the people of God come together, united in prayer, there are some awesome things that God's about to reveal and show to us. So I thank you for that, Pastor, and I thank God for the opportunity to come before you this morning and to share with you what God has placed on my heart. And I would ask that you just open your hearts up to the Lord. I don't know when I speak what God is applying to each heart. I leave that up to the Holy Spirit. I just say what God wants me to say. And thank God for having given me the grace to do it and the strength and anointing. So I thank God for that. I ask that you turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew 6. We've been in Matthew 5 and 6 for a number of times during the recent past and even on last Sunday. And I did not know I was going to be preaching out of Matthew. But that's where the Lord took me, and wherever the Lord takes me, I want to go. I want to follow. Amen. I've tried the other way. It doesn't work. I've tried it. I thought I knew better than the Lord what I should be talking about, and I tried it, and it does not work. Amen. There's nothing that is accomplished if you try to do it without him. Amen. And even if you're a little shaky when you do it by his word, you find out that God confirms his word by your obedience. It's simple. By your obedience, he confirms his word. So I thank the Lord for this word today. And some of you may have seen up on... some funny-looking letters. A few years ago, several years ago, back in the 90s, how many of you remember WWJD? Yeah, okay, some of you recognize the letters. What would Jesus do? And somebody came out with that, and suddenly, you know, it went universal, and everybody was putting it on their license plate. And what would Jesus do? And it became a theme, and a number of programs were started by it, and it went wildfire. Well, you know, it's a good thought. It's a heavenly thought. You know, you're in a situation. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? But today, we want to look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, because what I want to talk about are those words. The words, what or why you do what you do when you do it. Why you do what you do when you do it. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, and I'm just going to read a portion of this. I'm reading out of the Amplified Version of the Bible. Amen. Take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them. Now, right away, you may have a conflict, because the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? But Jesus is saying, let the light that is in you so shine before men. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Testing. Okay. He is talking about deeds here. He's talking about things that come out of our lives in acts, in actions. And he's saying, you know, don't do that in order that you might be seen doing them. Amen. You ought to start out in the morning. I try to every day. Saying, Lord, I want to please you. And Father, I ask that you help me to help somebody wherever I go today, that just to be a help. I don't know how you want to use me, but my life and times are in your hands. And then I go expecting that God's going to bring somebody, some situation, some circumstance in my life where I'm going to be helpful by the grace of God. Okay, so I don't know what deeds I'm going to do. But Jesus is talking to some people here who kind of knew what deeds they wanted to do or they were going to do, because they decided. And they decided not only what they were going to do, but how they were going to do it and when they were going to do it. Amen. Say amen again. It says, otherwise you will have no reward. So you may do good deeds, but the Bible tells us that your good deeds won't necessarily bring you rewards. Now, the rewards it's speaking about is God's rewards. God's rewards. Because it goes on to say, in my Bible, the Amplified Bible, it says, reserved and awaiting you, with and from your Father, which is in heaven. So those are the rewards, if you will, that you want for doing good deeds. But if you do them in order to be seen, in other words, if you have another motive, your motive is not to please the Father. Your motive is not to walk in obedience to God. Your motive is not to do what God is saying to do. Your motive is to do your thing and still somehow get the blessings. Well, you get the reward. Whatever it was you were seeking and you got it, that's your reward. That's what Jesus is saying here. It goes on to say in verse 2, thus, whenever you give to the poor, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets like to do, that they may be recognized and honored and praised by men. So the Pharisees, whenever they had an offering, used to have people going around blowing trumpets, and the trumpets mainly were for people to know that they were having an offering. But at the same time, the trumpet alerted those who wanted to be seen, given that, okay, this is a time of an offering. This is a time to, you know, do my thing. And so they would be sure that people saw them when they were given that offering. So he said, don't blow a trumpet before you. Amen. Amen. It goes on to say that they may be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. They've got it. Whatever they were looking for, they've got it in full already. In verse 3, but when you give to charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Amen. So that your deeds of charity may be in secret. Amen. How many of you know God should only know what it is you intend to give by his grace? You've heard him speak. It's only between you and God. Amen. If anybody finds out, that's one thing. But if you, in your giving, in your donating, say you helped out a family, decide that you're going to be your own news reporter, and you're going to let everybody know that, you know, you did this and you did that, the Bible is showing that that's your reward. You wanted notoriety, you got it. You wanted news coverage, you got it. Now, that's all you can look for. Amen. And so it goes on to say, so that your deeds of charity may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Verse 5, also when you pray, and we talked about prayer earlier on, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love. Say they love. Amen. They don't just like to do it. It's not just something insignificant to them. They love. They've embraced that. They cherish that time when they can go into the synagogues and on the corners of the street that they may be seen of people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. Verse 6 says, when you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Notice how many times it says your Father in secret, your Father's secret, because the Father wants a relationship with you, not with everybody, not with your neighbors, not with your family, with you. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a relationship with your family, but God wants an individual relationship with every individual. Amen. And that's between you and God. And there are some things that God will share with you, will tell you, that he doesn't want you to share with anybody else. How many of you know that? I'll tell you about a story in a few minutes that will bear that out. And so he goes on to say, and when you pray, do not heap up phrases, multiplying words, repeating the same ones over and over as the Gentiles do. I'll tell them myself. Sometimes sometimes I don't remember saying my grace. Because, you know, my grace is generally the same. Now, you know, he's not talking about words that you have a feeling for that are coming from your heart. Yo, you may say the same grace all the time, but it's coming from your heart. Lord, I want you to bless this food. I don't want to eat this food if you haven't blessed it. I don't want this food going in my body if it's not going to impart health and wholeness and nutrition. Yo, that's my grace. Yo, I want his food to bless my life. So, as I say that, my heart's in that. But if you're saying words over and over again, you're saying the same thing over and over again, after a while, they don't have any meaning. They become just phrases that you repeat. That's what he's talking about. This repetition without feeling, without, you know, embracing it with your heart, without a conscious awareness of what you're saying. Amen? And so it says, they think they will be heard for their much speaking. He said Gentiles. That's unbelievers. Do you know unbelievers pray? He's saying, you know, they pray, they use a lot of words, and they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking, because they're praying a lot of words. But they don't have a relationship with me. So they can't have any confidence because they don't know me. But they're praying a lot of words, thinking that'll do it. If I bombard him with enough words, he'll hear me. Amen. But he's saying, no, that's not the way it works. They think that they'll be heard for their much speaking. He's saying, pray. If you're going to pray, pray from your heart. Jesus said that people came to him, and though they with their lips praised him, with their mouth they worshiped him, but their hearts were far from him. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Give us ears to hear. We thank you that it is a word, a Father, that will transform our minds and hearts as we listen with the intent to obey. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. May you have preeminence in our hearts to take your word, O God, and to plant that word of Father in our hearts so that he reminds us day after day with that word that will strengthen and empower us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to have to learn, especially now, not to sing too loud when I come, but I can't help myself, so I just let the Lord do. But my throat does get stretched or whatever, and so I thank God for water, but I hope it doesn't bother you. But Amen. So we look at these verses of scriptures, and I do want to drop down to, and this is just to continue one of the things that Jesus is dealing with. In verse 16, he says, whenever you're fasting, do not look gloomy and sorrow and dreary like the hypocrites, for they put on a dismal countenance, and their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Amen. We've all been through and go through times of fasting, and Christ is saying, if you're going to fast, everybody should know that you're fasting. And the only way they can tell is what you look like outwardly. Amen. Because, you know, I mean, there were times I was fasting, and I would stay away from folk, you know, that, you know, I normally go to lunch with. But if I was caught into a commitment and I had to go to lunch, I just didn't eat. And if they asked me, was I, I'm not eating, or you're fasting or something, they still didn't have to know. I'm watching over my diet. That's not a lie, because I'm watching over what I eat. And right now, my diet is not eating. So I'm watching over my diet. I don't have to tell them, you know, that I'm fasting. You know, everything about me should look like, you know, I'm doing what I normally do, except I'm not eating. Amen. Jesus said, you know, that's between you again and God. Praise the Lord. But some people feel like they need to let people know that this is what they're doing. Well, we're going to talk about that. And it goes on to say, truly, I say to you again, they have their reward. They have their reward. But when you fast, perfume your head. I don't know what that's all about. And wash your face, so that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Amen. We're talking about motive, folks. Jesus is dealing with something that causes people to act in a certain way. Maybe at a certain time. It's what makes them do and become the people they are. There's a certain motive involved in all of us. It's a prompting to action. You know you have motives. What Christ wants to do in your life, it gives you good motives, pure motives, motives that have to do with all goodness. But the Bible shows us, I'm not going to read it, but back in Genesis, that at one time, over in Genesis 6 and Genesis 8, that's all men thought about were evil things. They woke up in the morning, they went to bed at night, dreaming and thinking about evil things. They had evil motives all the time. But in Christ, we ought to have good motives. When we wake up in the morning, good motives. Good motives on your way to work. Amen. Even if you blow your horn at somebody who tries to cut you off, good motives, your motive is to say, watch out. Amen. But good motives. It's a state of mind in which you have prepared your heart to do good today. In other words, to do righteous. How many of you know righteousness, though righteousness has been given to us as a gift? Yes. The righteousness of God in Christ as a free gift. But how many of you know you got to work it out? You got to walk it out. You got to walk out righteousness every day. So you need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help you to do righteous acts, to speak righteous words, to think righteous thoughts, so that your motives are always on the up, pure, good. Amen? Amen. Over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. For the word of God is living. Thank God we have a living word. No other religion can say that. None. We have a living word. The one who spoke it is living. He's everlasting to everlasting. So he's always been living. And anything he speaks is a living word. It comes to pass simply because he's living to watch over his word to perform it. He can never die. Jesus died as a man in the flesh for our sakes. But he's the living Savior from everlasting to everlasting. And so we have a living word whenever God speaks. And so the Bible tells us that that word is not only living, but it's powerful. If we believe it to be a living word and we speak it, we declare it, we can believe that there's power in the word when it goes forth. Did not God say that? The word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty or void. It's going to accomplish what I please. It's going to prosper where I send it. Amen. But it says it goes even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and is a discerner. Say discerner. Discerner. Amen. That word doesn't go into you without having a flashlight at the end of it. There's a searchlight whenever the word comes. We're sitting here under the word, and if you're listening intently, it goes in, but it just doesn't go in inoperable. Amen. If you receive it, it does its searching. And I don't know about you, but before church was over and I was walking out, I knew it was searching in me. Amen. It's a powerful word. You know, God doesn't want his word going out, coming back to an empty. So if it went in you, It's got some work to do. Amen. And it will do it. Amen. So as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. None. Amen. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So here's Jesus instructing his disciples. And all who were listening with them to dig deeply, internally, to consider why we do what we do when we do it. Amen. And he says, at least he was demonstrating through his illustration of our outward acts that there can be genuine, authentic acts of goodness and mercy and love and all of those things that will bless people's lives, acts of righteousness. But there can also be manufactured acts. You know, we're faking it. We're going through the motions. We know the jargon. We may even speak the jargon, but it's not part of us. You know, we're talking about Christians, believers. And there are things that come out of us that have the wrong motive. So we're saying the right things. You know, we're using the right words, but something's not making it effective in the lives of those to whom we're speaking, in the lives of those that we are acting upon. So we cannot see those motives, but Jesus can. And he shows us those motives if we allow it by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't know why we're saying things. Sometimes we don't know why we're acting a certain way. But if you trust God, he'll open it up for you. And we need to ask him to open it up. God wants a people whose heart is right all the time. Amen. And so we want him to open that up. So our motives can be honorable. But we want to make sure that they're honorable because our heart's desire is to please the Lord. God is more concerned. He's concerned about our acts, but he's more concerned about the motive for our acts. Can I say that again? God is concerned about our acts, but he's more concerned about why, the motives. The motives. Amen. Psalm 139, you don't have to turn to it, but it says, Lord, search me. You have searched me. You've known me. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You comprehend my path. In other words, you've already been down where I'm going. You've scrutinized. You've seen what's down there. You've gone before me, it says. And my lying down, you are acquainted with all my ways. There's nothing about me that God does not know. And so the psalmist can end up saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, my anxieties. And see, again, the word coming in, doing his work. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And that should be our continuing prayer as we talk about motives in our lives. But listen to the motives that Jesus talked about with the Pharisees. He said, they think they will be heard for their much speaking. That's a motive. So if you think you'll be heard for your much speaking, then you're going to do things that will bring that about. Amen. You're going to speak much, and you're going to look for the accolades of men. You're going to look for them to heap all kinds of glory upon you. And to the degree that you are trying to get glory from men, you have rejected the glory of God. Amen. He goes on to say they do this because they are looking for glory from men. How many of you would rather have the glory from God? than the glory for men. But there are times in your life when you're going to be faced with that choice. Amen. We're all faced with that choice of either looking for men to praise us and men to give us what we think we need, or looking to God. It doesn't mean that you don't look for a paycheck. If you did a good day's work or a good week's work, you look for that. But suppose you didn't get it. Is your life going to be severely cut off and curtailed forever because you didn't get from men what you expected? We talked about the fact that God is the source of everything that we need. He is our provider. He's everything that we need. We can look past men and look to the source. The Bible says he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It all comes from the Father of lights. Amen. So we don't have to depend on men. The Bible says don't put your confidence in men. Don't put it in princes. Don't put it in horses. But put it in the true and living God, who cannot fail, who cannot lie. They wanted to be seen by men. Seen by men. And so we'll do things, you know, for men to see us and to say, what a good Christian. What a good person. But Jesus, he wanted people to understand that all of these things are artificial ways of getting rewards, but they're not God's way. Amen. So when we do these righteous deeds, Jesus said, for the applause of men, we get that. But we've been paid in full. Say, paid in full. Amen. You don't have any other reward coming. Now, that may be hard to say, but Jesus said it. He said, you've been paid in full. That means you got what you were looking for. And because you got what you were looking for, you don't have to look for anything else. You got it. Amen. So we must be careful in these areas. I wanted to read out of the Message Bible the things that Jesus talked about in a language that we can really understand, in a language where we can't dance around it. It speaks to us in a language that. We have to say, yes, it's true. You know, with the scriptures, sometimes we try to get very, very spiritually intelligent and say, well, you know, it may not mean that. You know, I have to check my concordance. And I want to make sure that this is what that word really means there, or whether it means something else. But you know, the Message Bible has put it in such a way, he's already done the work that you want to do. He's already going to the concordance. That's why I like to read some books sometimes, because they've done that work, you know. And so they give you know, what it really says. They've looked at the Hebrew and the Greek. Amen. So the Message Bible has done that. And the Message Bible says, for charitable deeds, when you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. Playing to the crowds, when you help someone out there, don't think about how it looks. If you're helping somebody, don't think about how you look. Don't think about yourself at all. You're helping them. Amen. He said, just do it. That sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? An ad somewhere. Just do it. Quietly and unobstructedly. In other words, do it quietly and don't try to sabotage it. Amen. You're helping somebody. And when you're helping them, it's telling you how to have the right motive. The motive is to help. Some years ago, I was in Berlin, Maryland, with my wife, visiting our family there. And Berlin, Maryland is about 6 miles outside of Ocean City, Maryland, which is a beach, a resort area. And we were staying with our sister-in-law her sister and my sister-in-law in a house that was probably a little less than a mile from her church. And it was a nice little country church, a little white church, and very nice, dainty church. They had just a few people there, and we used to go there for services all the time. But during the daytime, when she went to work, sometimes I would ask her if I had, could I get a key to the church, because I wanted to go in and just practice on the piano. And so she used to give me the key, and I used to go in and just have a good time, you know, on the piano, and then and have prayer, and then come home. But this one day I was there, and I was playing the piano, and I, you know, was just having a good time, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is a nice little church, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah." I looked around. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is. I said, "But it's a little dirty, isn't it?" And I looked around, and you know, and then I started to see, you know, dust and things, you know, and I said, "Sure is. Somebody needs to take care of that." Amen. I kept on playing, kept on singing. Praise the Lord. And I heard something in my spirit say, "Why don't you do it?" And it stopped me in my tracks. And I looked, and it was a, "Whoa, me?" But I knew it was the Lord. And so I got up from the piano, and I looked for a closet. And at first I couldn't find one. So I went back to the piano. And I started to play the piano, and I heard something say, "Did you look all the way in the back?" You can't dodge those kinds of things. You know that's not the devil. So I got up and I walked in the back. And unfortunately for me, I found a broom. I say unfortunately. But it was good for me. I found a broom and I found a dustpan back there. They didn't have a carpet. It was a wooden floor. So I swept, and when I got finished sweeping, I took the dust and broom, dustpan and broom, and took it back where I found it. And I thought I was clear now to come back to the piano. And the Lord said, "It would look better if it were scrubbed, because it was a floor. You know, if it were mopped." And I said, "Well, Lord, I don't know if they got a mop or not." The Lord said, "Did you look?" So I went back there where the broom was. So I went to another area, and it's a small church. So this was, you know, when you first come in, there's a little vestibule, and there's a closet that I had never seen until this time. And I looked in that closet, and there was a mop and bucket. And so I start mopping the floor, but something in me said, "Somebody's going to know about this. You know, somebody's going to know that I've been a blessing to them and came here and cleaned their church." Now I couldn't wait to get back to the house and wait for my sister-in-law to come home. Amen. And while I was waiting, the Lord spoke to me, "And you're not to tell anybody. You're not to tell anybody. Between me and you." And I wanted to tell my wife at least. Oh, at least somebody would know. But he told me not to tell anybody. Amen. And so I honored that. I did not tell my wife. I did not tell anybody. And the peace of God just came over my life. And after a while, I saw it. That there are times when God will have you do something to help somebody, and your left hand doesn't know what your right is doing. Amen. That right hand is the right hand that the Bible calls the right hand of power. And when that right hand is doing something, it's between you and God. And it's between you and God whether he wants you to share it or not. Even with your left hand. Amen. So the left hand didn't know that the right hand had done all this. And I wasn't allowed to say anything. In the Message Bible, in prayer, he says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Amen. You know, sometimes we're hypocrites, and that means play acting. You know, that means, you know, if you're play acting, you're looking for an audience. You know, because nobody wants to get on stage and not have an audience. I mean, what good is that? And so the Bible says you go into that secret place. It's you and you alone. And when you pray, you're praying before God. And God is the one that sees you. And remember, it's God to whom you're praying. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. Sometimes, well, Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know. Be still. There are times when God says, be still. Because God wants to speak, but he wants you still so you can hear him. Amen. And so this is what he's saying here. He's saying the focus will shift from you to God when you are still and you can begin to sense his grace as he speaks to you. And I don't know about you, but I've been in those times. And let me tell you, there's nothing so rewarding. And you try to get back as soon as you can. You try to stay there. But as life would have it, many times you fall out of that habit of just staying there. So I would encourage you, as you pray, don't always jump up and take off like we do with many of our phone calls and things. We hang up and we're going about something else. But God often will say, stay. Stay. You've talked. Now let me speak. Amen. And I thank God for those times. And those times ought to be more and more. In fact, those times ought to get better and better. And they ought to become a habit with us to stay in the presence of God. And then he talks about fasting because, again, this fasted thing is people, you know, like to make a big deal out of it before others. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. Amen. So you're fasting. So you turn down your plate. So you're not watching the football or the baseball game. You know, you turn down television, which I did last week. You turn down. I turn down television because I know I get enamored with the baseball. Baseball is my thing. And right now, my team, you know, both of my teams, I have one in the American League, one in the National League, and they're both at the top. You want to know who it is now, right? It ain't the Yankees. Excuse me. I'm not trying to. Praise God. But it's Tampa Bay. They're near the top, and they've been fighting. They're about a half game below. And Pittsburgh Pirates, who haven't won anything and been near the top for 20 years. And this year, they just blessed my soul. Because as a boy, they were my team. And so you know, I watched, you know, I would watch those games when they came on and watch the news, the sports news. And I turned that down this week, and you know it was no big deal in the sense that I recognized that if I wanted to hear from the Lord, if I wanted to get into His presence, if I wanted to have that sense of His presence, I had to turn down something. I had to fast. Amen. Fasting gives you that ability to become more sensitive to the voice of God. You hear God like you don't hear him at other times when you're fasting from something, when you've turned your plate down, when you're not involved in, you know, it's not just fasting from food, but there's some things you do all the time, and you don't even think about them. You do them all the time. And God is saying, fast from that. Let that go this week. Let that go today. And that's when you know. And when you come into the presence of God, instead of doing that thing, you come into the presence of God. And you begin to sense his presence and feel his power. Amen. And then he talks about the other thing that Jesus talked about. And we didn't read that, but you know about the treasures and how we ought to build treasures in heaven. You know, thieves don't break in. Moths don't corrupt. You know, and so he says, stockpile treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. The place where your treasure is the place where your heart is. Where your heart is. And that's absolutely true. You got a treasure of any kind, your heart is with it. Your heart is with it. And if something happens to that thing, your heart gets affected by it. We don't know how closely tied we are to some things until something happens to it. And then we discover that's where our hearts were. And so he says, don't have anything that takes over your heart like that besides me. And when I take over your heart, you can build treasures in heaven and nothing can affect them. You won't lose them. Nothing can affect the treasures you build in heaven. Amen. And so God is calling for people who will have their motive, and the only motive is to please the Lord. Whether other people know it or not, whether other people come to my play acting, you know, in other words, whether I have an audience or not, sometimes nobody will know, but does God know? And if God knows, I'm at peace. Hallelujah. I'm at rest. Because all of you, you know there are times when, you know, God does something and we want to share with everybody, and that's good. And there are times when he will allow us to share. But I'm talking about those times when God is looking at your motive and says to you, something's wrong with your motive. Why are you doing what you do when you do it? Amen. And God has given us this word and other words right now because God is bringing us to a place in him. We haven't been there yet. We haven't seen it. I heard Pastor Doe said, you don't know me. I'm still evolving. And we are an evolving people here. Because of the word of God, because of what God has, if you will, honored this house with. And that's the sense of his presence and the living word. And I don't know about you, I realize that I'm in a place of God's treasure in this house. Now, I'm not pitting myself against any other church. I love the Church of Christ. And I wish we were all the same. And we will be all the same if we have the same mind. We have the mind of Christ. We have to live by that mind. And so I want to encourage you. Motives. You know, you can judge your own motives. Now, you can't judge anybody else's. But you can judge your own. Especially when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, then you look at it and allow the Holy Spirit to show you what's wrong with it. Amen. But I thank God for this opportunity to look to him. And I would just encourage you right now, because if there's anything that God has said to you today out of these words, I believe he said that whatever you do, Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. Amen. And that's the motive that I want to have. So that if I'm pleasing God and it displeases men, I'm at peace. Amen. Men can be displeased and they can do some terrible things. But if God is pleased with you, the Bible says that God will take your enemies and make them, that's right, your footstool, he will also make them be at peace with you. He knows how to turn their hearts. You put them in God's hands when you refuse to try to please man. Doesn't mean you don't do what you're supposed to do on your job, but don't let anybody take your eyes off him. And I really sense right now there's some in here who have taken their eyes off him. I heard that in my spirit. They got their eyes on the situation, on the people involved, the persons, but they've gotten distracted. And you know, one of the most effective tools of the enemy, one of the most effective ones, is just a little distraction. He can do it in any kind of way. He can do it watching TV. He can do it reading the paper. Any kind of way he can get you off your focus on the true and living God. And once that happens, be careful about your motives. And God is calling for us. The Bible wants us to recognize that we are one in the body of Christ. In the Amplified version of the Bible in Colossians 3, it says, "Servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose with all your heart, because of your reverence for the Lord, and as a sincere expression of your devotion to him. Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily, as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, your reward. You are actually serving him." Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. May your word find a place in each heart today. And let this be a time and a season we're praying, dear Father, that this house becomes literally a house of prayer and worship and honor and glory. Simply, oh God, because we come into this house expecting your presence, acknowledging, Lord, your lordship over our lives, acknowledging that you are the Lord. There is none like you. Father, may the word continue to come forth in this house that will establish your people in your way and in your will. Oh Lord, we thank you for all your blessings in our lives and for how you prosper us. Father, may our hearts forever be focused on how you loved us even before we knew Christ. You drew us with cords of love because you had a plan and a purpose for our lives, oh God, that you wanted to share with us, to show us great and mighty things. And we are here. We are here. We are here because of your grace and your goodness. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Because we don't want anything else to distract us from what you have, your glory, for those who will hold fast to you and stand on your promises and know you are faithful to deliver. May we be faithful to deliver a heart that is singularly focused on you, to your glory, to your honor, to your praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.